Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.
Damn these Biloxi blues. It happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and
I got
three good tires and a spare.
Right to that old hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live, and that is a song by me, written by me, sung by me, called Biloxi Blues. If you are new to the show, I still get questions about that, and that means we got new sets of eyes and ears stopping in into the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. We appreciate you. And if you are a low lifer that has been with us for quite some time now, we appreciate all of the low lifers. Hope you low life and some of the guns are doing good out there. Thank y'all for stopping by the Low Budget Live, not so live. This is indeed the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. And it was grilling this weekend. I mean grilling. I had this thing fired up, boy. We were out there hibachiing and Traegering, and all y'all grill companies get at me, but because we were smoking it up this weekend. We had some folks over, some good people, on the 3rd of July, and I'm coming to you on July 6th right now. This is the podcast for Monday, July 6th. July the 6th, 2020, baby. But on the 3rd, which was yours truly's birthday right here. Thank y'all. Got some birthday wishes on the IG and the Facebook and the text messages, but had some folks over. Had a small crowd due to the COVID craziness, but we had some folks over, and we cooked some red snapper up, and we cooked some pork tenderloins, and we cooked a big beef tenderloin, and man, it was a good time. Made some homemade ice cream. I might have drunk a little bit, and it was a good time. Had some good friends and some family, and it was good. It was good. Hope y'all had a good weekend, too. This is always because I was born right before the 4th of July. I've always enjoyed that weekend or that time frame. I know it's not, obviously not always on a weekend, but I've always enjoyed that. It's always been real special to me since I was a kid, because 4th of July is just like, I think everybody turns into a kid a little bit between the fireworks, and it's just summertime and you're feeling good and you're eating ice cream and watermelon. Got them cold watermelons. I grew up in the produce business, family in the produce business. My grandpa started one, and so we always had some ice cold watermelons around. So that's what I think of when I think of 4th of July, man, family. So it was good. It was good. We, of course, it goes without saying, we missed my mom. This was the first birthday I've had without her here, and it was strange. It was strange having people around, and you just like keep waiting for her to come around the corner. It was strange. It was her birthday last week as well. So we celebrated with a little bit of a heavy heart, but we know she would want us to carry on and to have a good time. So this weekend was special. It was really special. We had a great time, man. We got to get all of our fireworks shooting and things out on July the 3rd because everybody's got stuff going on. So we like to invite people over and do a little thing. We've done this for years. And then on the 4th, it was kind of rainy around here, but then it cleared out right before dark, and we went and got some more fireworks because, man, I ain't scared, you know? I ain't scared. But when we showed up, we were them folks. We showed up at 8 p.m. to the firework tent because I shot a bunch on Friday night, and I was like, let's go get some more. And me and my man Weston, we loaded up in the truck, and we drove to town. And went to a friend of ours that's got a really nice fireworks stand every year. And they were basically down to sparklers and the popping snaps or whatever, snap pops that you throw on the ground, and some firecrackers. And we blew up some apples and some things, much to the Triple Threat's disapproval in the front yard. But I'm going to say this. Everybody's been getting that stimulus check. And from what it sounded like in this just surrounding area out here in the country where I'm at, sound like they just spent it all on them fireworks. I'm pretty sure that they spent every bit of the stimulus package for the United States on fireworks. And I've seen videos from around the country, and I know y'all know what I'm talking about. And if you did that out there, God bless you, because it was just awesome. Like, there's just fireworks everywhere. We've never seen a lot of our neighbors shoot fireworks. Dude, it sounded like a war zone out here until way after 11 o'clock. They were going cannons, them big old deep, you know, them big deep bass ones. You know the good ones. Y'all know the expensive ones. You know what them expensive ones sound like. Not the ones that are on the ground. It's like bzzz, that shoot up about this high. And there ain't nothing wrong with them. I like them. But them that are like, and then you hear the snap, crackle, pop at the end. That's them old biggins. Them that you know, you're like, my man done spent about $75 on just that shot. That's something else. Fireworks are so damn expensive. I say every year, boys, we're going bigger than ever. And then I get there and I'm like, no, we ain't. But I feel like a lot of folks took that stimulus money up there and were like, oh, we're doing it right this year. Load them up. Put them in a truck. Put them mortar shells in a truck. But it was awesome. So July 6th, though, we're recuperating from eating bad and drinking bad and shooting fireworks and staying up too late. Had a good weekend, though. Hope all of you did, too. In this crazy world we're living in right now, you know, it's certainly it's just bizarre, man. Everything, these cases are going back up, and the media is freaking out, and we're shutting stuff down again. And, you know, it's scary time. Don't even know if the kids are going to go back to school. And I don't know. I think we all need a little taste of normalcy. And we're getting that. Like I said, 4th of July was a taste of that. It was a taste of that. And it looked like a lot of Americans celebrated the way they always would. Or indulge a little bit more. And a lot of people are just carrying on with life. And I mean, I don't know that that's not the best policy at this point. We got to just figure our way through this thing and be careful, but figure our way through this. So a good friend of mine was here this weekend, and his wife works at a hospital, and she's in the administrative part of that hospital. Really smart person. And she said, you know, that the hospital in particular she was working at, it's got a lot of cases and it's got a lot of people. And she said it is definitely, you need to be careful, you know, be careful. So it was interesting talking to her about it, because you only get, you know, we get fed what we get fed, right? So and I do believe the media wants total ridiculousness with this a lot of times. And it's just there's a lot of people kicking it. A lot of people survive. I have had some friends and family that have come in contact with it, that have had it, and you know, they bounce right back. So I know there are people that are less fortunate, and there are people that do need to take more precautions than others, most likely. But we're in a weird place right now, and man, it's crazy to see. What is not crazy to see is the fact that this bottle This bottle right here is always on the Low Budget Bar and Grill. Always, always. StarTron bringing you LBL for going on 3 years now. And the fine folks at Starbright StarTron, we appreciate them so much. If you don't know what this is, it is an enzyme fuel treatment that will kick ethanol right here. Say ethanol's coming up, and it just gets it out of there. I'm all about sound effects these days, by the way, guys. By the way, I'm all in with sound effects. Got some good comments on the sound effects last week. But this will take care of ethanol in your if you're putting gas in your boat and it's sitting for a little bit, you better get you a drop of this. If you're running older outboard engines, ethanol is hell on those. So this will kick it in the teeth. Use it in your weed eater. Use it in your chainsaw. Use it in your side-by-sides, your four-wheelers, your vehicles. Right here. This is going to treat 256 gallons, this bottle right here. They also make a lot of cleaning products at Starbright. Y'all have seen them. Going to keep you looking good. We appreciate those people bringing you Low Budget Live. Another little quick sponsor plug, but just good people. These people are more like friends and family than sponsors. Same with Starbright. The fine folks at Eagle Call. Check this sweet. I got this awesome happy 4th of July card from these guys that they sent out. And this swag new little cup that I'm having my morning drink in. This is a non-alcoholic beverage right here. But this is OtterBox is making a little tumbler deal. Pretty cool. But people at Eagle Call are, I've been with those guys for a long time. They're historically awesome to work with. And that showed up right there before the weekend. So cheers to those guys. Now let's talk bass fishing, shall we? Should we talk some bass fishing? I think so. For those of you that are like, don't talk about anything but bass fishing. Here we go. Here's the bass fishing portion of the show. I do like to get stuff off my chest, though. Y'all know that. I like to just ramble and talk, and that's what this is for me. I enjoy that. I enjoy the rambling. So, Bass Pro Tour. Do y'all want sound effects? Bass Pro Tour. The Bass Pro Tour starts this week in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. This tournament was originally supposed to be in New York. Good old New York. COVID York, as we're calling it. Nobody's calling it that. I made that up. It was supposed to be up on Lake Champlain, I believe, and they dipped out of there. They told their anglers, kind of, you know, short notice, whatever, but that's just the nature of the beast right now in this world we're living in. But they moved it to Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, to avoid having any craziness in New York and restrictions and things. So moving it. They FLW, BPT, Major League Fishing, MLFLW, also moved the Toyota Series from New York. I think it was supposed to be on the St. Lawrence River, actually. And they moved it down to Ohio to Sandusky Bay, which is a wild fishery most of the time as far as wind and waves. So that one's going to be interesting to see for the first Northern Toyota Series. But I think that one starts this week too. But BPT Sturgeon Bay, I think that rescheduling is a power move just from a fishing standpoint. Champlain is awesome, but dude, they got giants at Sturgeon Bay. I mean, freaking giants. And I know those guys are probably bummed because they probably had houses booked and yada, yada, yada. But I think Sturgeon Bay is the better move. We'll see. It gets nasty, you know, but so does Champlain. If it blows, it could be, you know, a miserable event, I'm sure. But and who knows weather-wise when you're dealing with the Great Lakes and different things. But I think this is an interesting event to watch for sure. For a lot of reasons. I love basically all smallmouth events. I'm not sure what their weight minimum will be this week, but I've never been to Sturgeon Bay. I've always wanted to go, so I'll be watching this one for sure. I think this one will be I like seeing the spinning rods come out and guys like Cody Meyer, like, you know, guys like him, and Aaron Martins is back this week. You know, Aaron's finished his treatments and he's going to be fishing this week. I think that's a storyline we all need to be watching for sure, supporting Aaron. And, man, how cool would it be if he went up there and won that sucker on some light line? It'd be awesome. It would be so cool to see. And seeing Aaron ring the bell which I got to see my mom do when her treatments were over in the first round that she went through. It was very cool. It was very cool. And he's a fighter, and he's a strong dude. So can't wait to see him up there. The Brent Ehlers of the world, these guys, they're all so freaking good at this point. But I think that this is going to be a cool tournament. It's going to be a cool tournament. If they may do a 3-pound minimum or something crazy up there. Could be wild, but there's going to be a lot of fish caught if they can fish because of the weather. The overwhelming storyline for me, the most interesting storyline for me, let me get a drink. Did y'all hear that out there? Will this be the last Bass Pro Tour event of its kind? The no entry fees, the, you know, small field, will it all go to FLW next year? Will they announce that because of COVID, because of issues, because of things? That rumor is running rampant everywhere. I'm hearing that a bunch. And it is just that. It is a 1,000% rumor. There's also rumors that they're going to pay entry fees next year if the Bass Pro Tour continues. For those guys that signed up for it, I sure hope that it continues. You know, I hope that it does, but this could be the last one. Maybe. I'm normally not a rumor spreader. Try not to be, but that is, man, that one's got, it's got some legs behind it. Seems to, but we'll see. I don't believe anything until it's released in a press release, but I would think if the plan is to just move to some sort of FLW super tournament situation next year or whatever, that they would have to announce that very soon. I would think that that's got to be shared with everybody within the organization. That way guys can make decisions, you know, on what's best for them for next year. Whether to be a part of course, it's too late in the game. You know, if you're not already fishing the Opens, you can't re-qualify for the Elites. And so there's just a handful of guys trying to do that right now and get out of there, I believe. But we've seen a few. But I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about that. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. And now we got the National Professional Fishing League popping up. It's going to start in March. You know, do guys go that route and fish that because, you know, they've announced 60 anglers, but they've still got some spots. And I think they could potentially be, you know, I think they'll feel that thing. I do. I think that they could be waiting to see what some of these guys are going to do. Are some FLW guys going to drop out and go to that? You know, we'll see. We'll see. It's a very interesting time right now. It always is. It has been since interesting slash crazy slash ridiculous since BPT started, you know. It's crazy. But best of luck to those guys up at Sturgeon Bay, and be safe. Be safe, guys. Now, on to bass. We're going to talk a little bass, Master, before we get to our guest today, which is just a very special guest. So bass, they're presented a unique opportunity, and opportunity and a unique challenge. They are going to New York State, land of Corona, land of strict policies and craziness. They are going to New York for four events, a Bassmaster Open on Oneida and three Elite Series up there. And we're all looking forward to this. It's just like Sturgeon Bay. Like I said, everybody loves watching the smallmouth beatdowns, and it's kind of what we expect from these leagues in the summer because the south, the fishing starts kind of sucking and the water temperatures are hot and it's hard to take care of fish and keep them alive. So we slide north in June, July, August, September, typically. That's what we've seen the last few years, and it's very cool. Other than the Forestwood Cup, which was always on a southern fishery when it was hot, but it was a challenging event and fun to watch. But for the most part, especially bass, they slide up north this time of year. St. Lawrence River is always just like this beat down, a big smallmouth. Cayuga is a big largemouth lake. It's cool. These are cool lakes. Oneida for the open. I think they're going to Champlain. But they have their hands full because, you know, New York is really, I think they're checking driver's licenses and tags when you come into the deal and the cross the state line. That's what I'm hearing, you know, through the grapevine, but for states that have hot spots, so to speak. And I mean, you look at like the cases going nuts in Texas per the media and per the numbers and all this stuff, and Florida and things like that. And you've got a lot of guys that fish from those states coming in. And like, I mean, are they going to get to, they got their hands full, but the overwhelming question to me is, should they go there? And I've heard several people talk about that this week. Should they go? Should they go? And as of right now, July 6th, they are still going. They are still going and talking. I've talked to some people there and some anglers, and I think they're going to have very, very, very strict rules about what they can and cannot do as far as crowds and as far as social distancing and as far as maybe even testing the anglers, temperature checks, actual COVID tests. And I think that's smart. From a press standpoint and from a organizational standpoint, I think they have to. I think if you're going to go there, should they still go? Yes, 1,000%. And here's why. This is my opinion. Should fishing tournaments still go? Yes. Should Sturgeon Bay go on? Yes. Yes. Yes, they should. Yes. You're not packing out a baseball stadium. You're not filling an arena full of people. It's not a concert. People losing their minds over stuff like this. And nobody wants to be the first one to step out there and do it, right? That's the biggest problem due to shaming online or cancel culture. Bassmaster has a huge crowd in Waddington, New York, every time they go. If they were to have that crowd, they'll be all over freaking mainstream media the next day. Bass fishing, killing people. That's what it'll be. But should they go? Abso-frickin-lutely. And here's why. Rescheduling is a nightmare. They've already had to reschedule the entire freaking season. And we've talked about this, but like BPT got a few events in on them in the beginning, and then one, after kind of the world came crumbling down, they fished Fork, and then they shut her down. And they shut her down. But Bass had one freaking elite, man. One elite. And the Classic. Got the Classic in literally at D-Day right there at the line. Then everything fell apart. So I feel like, and their rescheduling was great. Into the fall, some really cool stuff. And I feel like it is too hard to reschedule. And like I said before, you can't come to Southern Fisheries in July and August. You can, but from a fan standpoint, especially an online standpoint or ESPN2, not sure if they're going to get to do that again or where all that's headed. They haven't announced it. But from a fan watching online standpoint, you got to catch fish. The storylines have to be interesting. People like to see big weights. They like to see big fish. And they like to see the big smallmouth freak shows and things like that. Or big largemouth at Cayuga. So I think if... And the crowds are cut down to a minimum at any type sporting event. So I think you've got to focus on your online stuff right now. And they always draw big crowds. We know that. BPT doesn't worry about that as much. That's not their business model. They don't focus on crowds, and they don't have crowds, and they don't do live events. But Bass does. They have Dave Mercer up there acting a fool, killing it. But right now, I think you have to have these tournaments in New York. Or something similar to New York as far as fisheries are concerned, like Sturgeon Bay, where BPT is going. But I think they have to have these events. And I think we have to resume some sort of normalcy. And I think they will go above and beyond, just like I know BPT will, Major League Fishing, and making sure the anglers are safe. I think you won't see any marshals at these events. I think you'll see a real scaled down staff from Bass. But I think these events, and I hope that New York lets, I hope this happens. Hell, I need it. I need to be able to see this, you know. It's like I was saying with Sturgeon Bay. Have to be able to see it. So I love that. I love that they're going to go. Now, if you're an angler and you don't want a freaking COVID test shoved up your nose, you might not ought to fish. But if you do it for a living, you know, full send ahead. And I know the guys are willing to go because the fishing's so good. And look, man, you aren't hurting anybody. When you're out on the water, you're out on a boat, who are you hurting? You're out there by yourself. We've seen, I talked to a member of the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency, TWRA, which is our governing body over, you know, hunting and fishing. My guest is texting me right now. And they said that fishing licenses are up over $2 million in sales this year over last year. So people are fishing. And I don't think it's fishing that's causing these numbers to go up by any means. I think we gotta go. Got to go fishing. And I hope that bass gets the rest of the season in. And I hope that FLW, the super tournaments, I hope that they get to finish the year with all that craziness. I hope. My guest today, I'm laughing because my guest today is one of my brothers in arms. He is one of my best friends in the world. Y'all know him as Stupid Darian. He has nearly 34,000 people on YouTube that watch his bullcrap videos all the time. His clickbait. He's absolutely doing a great job on there. I give him hell, but he is also a social media mogul in the making, I feel like. Not to mention he makes sweet tea, not to mention he's a pretty damn good fisherman at the same time. We're going to talk to you about several things today. I just wanted to have him on. I got to see him this weekend for just a minute, but ladies and gentlemen, let's see if we can get on the phone. Stupid Dumb Darian. At Darian is fishing. What, who are you answering the phone from? A damn robot phone?
Yeah.
Gosh. You freaking millennials in your technology.
Yeah, robot phone, baby.
It did sound like that at first. So have you got your workout in today, Pumpkin?
I got my workout in this morning. And now I'm just ready. I'm ready for the day.
You're ready for this. You're ready for Low Budget Live, Not So Live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. So I gave you a great intro. You're going to want to go back and listen to that. You're going to want to, as soon as this posts up, you're going to want to make sure, because you might want to like pull it down, you know, download it. And I can send you the file and use it for anything that you're trying to get. Like you're trying to sell somebody on a sponsor deal. You're like, well, this is what the media says about me. And you should plug that in.
Yeah.
You should plug that in. So, yeah. I did. I was talking about you're like a social media mogul. You're a sweet tea maker. You're a mogul in the making. That's what I'm calling you, the mogul in the making. And you get to tell people you're friends with me. And I think that's
one of my better attributes.
Really?
Hey, and I got like 99 attributes.
You got 99 of them, and that's one of them right there.
That's what Kevin Gates said. He said, that's just an attribute, and I got like 99 attributes.
Oh, Kevin. I'm gonna download that later. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's one of my favorite ones. But don't download what he says right before that, because it would not be fitting for the podcast.
Okay. Okay, I will not do that then. I will definitely not do that. So you, it's been a while since I've had you on LBL, and that's what I was thinking this weekend. I was like, I want to get Darian on, because not only do we have something in the works right now that we're really excited about, a couple things we're really excited about, but I just want to get, I think that you definitely, we definitely cross over as far as subscribers and followers a lot of times, but at the same time, we have some people that don't know you as well, but for those of y'all that don't know Darian, it's at Darian is Fishing on Instagram and Facebook, and definitely on YouTube where he's, and TikTok. He's a TikToker as well. He kills it on there. But Darian, the last time we had him on, he lives at Gunnersville, Lake Gunnersville, and his life has gotten completely out of control crazy, I feel like. he's made some life decisions this year that y'all, if y'all follow around with his channel, you're like, wow, he's really changing things up. So talk us through, you put your house up for sale back this spring, and you're going to move, but you've had some snags.
we've had like a snag that was basically a break-off. I mean, just basically
you just broke your jig. You said, we're just going to retie.
Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and retire. Yeah, so we're moving from Gunnersville back to Hayden, Alabama, where our family's from. You know, I hate to leave this lake, but we're still going to be about 40 minutes away. We never got to see our family. We're wanting to start a family of our own. And so getting back to, you know, our parents and grandparents to be around the babies whenever that happens, I think it's going to be important. And we found a spot on a lake, which is going to be really cool. There's a little small lake in Hayden. And so that's going to be really cool to be able to be on the water, actually. And I think I'll be able to film more. It'll be different because it's not a, you know, worldwide known lake like Gunnersville is, but it will bring a different creativity and challenge to learning the new body of water, being more relatable, I think, to people who don't have the best lake in the country at their fingertips, which I still will in a way, but I won't be on it every single day like I am now. So I'm super excited about it, fishing from the bank a little more, fishing for my kayak a little more. So yeah, we put our house up for sale, thought we had a done deal. We found the house in Hayden. The guy backed out 24 hours before our closing. It was a really, really strange situation, but we were not able to even keep the earnest money. It was a weird, weird situation. So now we're renting a house. We still are paying a mortgage on a house, and we're about to close on another house. So if you got some money, or if any of your subscribers got money, if they want to give them my Venmo.
Y'all go ahead and Venmo Darian. And I'll tell you the best part of this, for those of y'all that don't know, my favorite part of this is his landlord is just a jerk.
Big jerk.
His landlord's a big dumb animal that in a video last week, I don't know if you saw this or not, Darian, said he was going to shoot me in the foot with a shotgun. So nice. He did say that in his new series, The Lost Lake. And we're, of course, talking about Gerald Swindle. Gerald, who's really good friend of mine and Darian's, but he's renting to Darian right now. He's a landlord. Yeah, does he shake you down for the rent money, or does Leanne?
Yeah, he does. It's weird. Like he gets real touchy too. It's weird.
He's like, you gonna earn this rent, boy.
Yeah, he has. You gonna learn. So here's the thing about Gerald. So I'm like a punk kid, and Gerald's like this seasoned, got tough leather hands, old grumpy man, like old tough, like kind of like an old lion.
Yes.
Like an old pack.
Yes.
Lion.
Grizzled veteran. Yes.
Yes, very much of a veteran, and I'm like a little cub, like still eating bad berries, like rot berries and stuff. So when I move in over by Gerald, I stay up till like 2 or 3 in the morning editing videos. And I'm not gonna lie, if our bosses at TH were listening to this, I would hate for them to know this is the truth. But there's been days
they're not listening. Don't worry about it.
During the week that I stay up till 2 or 3, I might sleep until 9 or 10. I got to get my 6-7 hours.
Hey, son, it's COVID. It's COVID, man.
So it's COVID. But so anyhow, I got in a bad routine of that. I was getting work done really late. And then, so by the way, if you move in over by Gerald and you won't wake up till 10, Gerald's already been done a lot by 10. Like, he's already up been 6-7 hours at 10.
Yes.
Gerald has already been up and done stuff, cut the grass and ran by, went fishing and took a nap by 10.
Yes.
So he's like, hey, you got to start getting in bed earlier and start waking up earlier. So he has trained me every morning. I've been waking up at 6, and then this week, at the start of this morning, I set my alarm at 5:30. So that's been my goal. So we're getting better earlier.
So legit, I haven't heard the story, and you and I talk twice a day, sometimes more than that.
I've been saving this one.
You've been saving this one. Yeah, I didn't know that he got on you for sleeping in. That's hilarious to me.
Yeah,
that's such a G thing, too, though, right? That's such a G thing. Ain't nothing but a G thing.
Ain't nothing but a G thing, but there you go.
That's hilarious. So he's like, you better get your butt up. And I listen, man, I have to tell you too, and you know this, but like, I mean, I've been slipping too. I've been staying up later than I normally stay up during all this, because it's like, I feel like a kid a little bit with this. I haven't been traveling. I haven't, like Marissa and I say every Monday, like I got up this morning and about 6:30, and I came in the kitchen and I just said, like that. And she goes, what? And I said, it's another damn week of this, because it's just like, it just is, you know, it's just like this. And now I feel like we're kind of slipping backwards as far as like the nation's concerned and how things are going. I think a lot of people are full steam ahead with it, but trying to get back to some sort of normalcy. But it's the bottom line is it's not normal. And for me, it's been like this extended summer vacation. My kids are here all the time, and we're just like, yeah, we're watching movies till midnight and later.
Swimming.
And so, swimming and eating bad and all this crap. So every day I'm like, I might get up at 7:30, 8:30, 9:00. I mean, there are these days where my wife and I, truly, this weekend, we slept until like 9:30 one morning. Like, I haven't done that in freaking years. So I get where he's coming from, because you need that. I do think it's important. I think a lot of successful people, and you're certainly one of the most successful people I know, and one of the hardest working people I know, but you hustle at what you do. And I think, though, a lot of successful people, they get up really early.
I think the main thing about it, and I didn't realize, but I thought I was doing better by staying up late, because you're getting the same amount of work done. Like, if I stay up late, I'm doing the same work I would get done in the morning. The thing is, I think in the morning, there's just, you get your day started so much better, and it just feels better. Instead of having to cream energy drinks at night to stay up late, I get up early, go to the gym. I'm back home by 7:30. So some people still aren't even up at that point.
Yeah,
that's before I was even waking up before. And so now I'm wide open. But
when I feel like, too, you make fewer mistakes in the morning and during the day, too. Like, you're sharp after you're well-rested, because your mind can slip, especially doing what, you know, everything that you do social media-wise and editing video. If you make the wrong slip, and then you end up putting putting the wrong thing out there, that could be detrimental to you. So this week is kind of a sad week for me, and I didn't even mention this at the first of the show. I know it's a sad week for you too, but this is iCast week.
And this is a big. We're missing out. I know our group text has been filled with some old videos.
Never
leaked.
We're gonna.
Yeah, this is a sad week.
Yeah, this is a sad week. This is iCast week, right? I just said that. I set that up. But, or is it next week?
I think so.
Or is it next week? No, it's this week for sure. Because when we did the Costa thing, we left right after the.
It was at the 4th. We were there.
We were there. No, we were there. Were we there the 4th? Oh, we were.
Yeah,
we were. Like, I left on my birthday. Yeah, man, I'm a terrible parent.
Yeah, you are leaving just right in the middle of four.
I remember that. That was 2 years ago. So what Darian's talking about, this was going to – I was going to bring this up, because we got a lot of iCast memories we can talk about, some that we can't on
a lot
here.
That we can't.
A lot that we can't. But we have a good time at iCast. We see everybody. And iCast, for those of you that don't know, is obviously it's the biggest fishing industry show where everybody gets together. And it's a really good time, and a lot of new products get introduced there. They really get introduced online now, though, before the show even starts. So the show's kind of becoming more and more pointless, in my opinion. So this could be the beginning of the end for it, I feel like. Hopefully. It's kind of just a crazy week. But
People don't understand. I'm going to interrupt you really quick.
No, go.
What people don't understand about iCast is, as a fan of the sport or fan of fishing tackle or whatever it may be, you dream to go to iCast. It's like this coolest thing.
That's
you see all the Tackle Warehouse videos. But working that show, people don't understand how long the hours are.
Oh,
it is brutal. It's the hardest working, but it's the longest time you'll sit on your feet. And like, what are the hours, like 9 to 6 or something?
Nah, I think it's seven, it's crazy. It's crazy hours for what you do.
Crazy.
And you're shooting videos all day long. I mean, and it's a dream job. Like, because I know people are going to comment, oh, yeah, swing a hammer, Darian. And I get that, but it is a crazy week, and it's a marathon. And what I mean by that is, you get there, you set the booth up, then the show hours are long. As soon as the show's over, you go out to dinner with sponsors, with friends, with whatever, and you're out till late, and then it all starts over. So you get zero sleep. The classic week's kind of like that too. It's a gauntlet as well. But 2 years ago, this is my favorite iCast memory. 2 years ago, we got an invite from Costa Sunglass. Big shout out, Costa. We got an invite from Costa to go to Daytona International, Daytona Speedway, and fish in the lake in the speedway and fish a tournament. And work for Costa doing an event there during a NASCAR race. One of the coolest things I've ever got to do.
Did you win the tournament?
I won the tournament. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I beat stupid fat Todd Castledine and forget who all was in that. Russell Cecil,
Mullins.
Who else was there?
The guy with the nitro mask guy.
Oh, Shane Lineberger. Yeah, Shane fishes the Elite.
Roy Hawk.
Yeah, I beat those guys. It's a good time. Beat them using Panoptics, as a matter of fact, too, because I could see eelgrass. They couldn't. It was really funny. But we got to go do that, and then we went from there right into ICAST. I took my boat to Orlando, which was kind of wild, and I got to do a Garmin event that week where they actually released LiveScope Panoptics that week. Got to work. That was one of my favorite ICAST. I think that one was a good one.
Yeah.
Definitely. So are you seeing anything right now that you are interested in bait-wise? Because we always kind of say, a lot of trends. The trends seem to be going more, and I think you'll agree with this, finesse fishing, which I'm here for that. But fishing pressure is increasing. Ned rigging is huge. But we're seeing a lot of trends go that way, I think, in finesse fishing. But is there anything you're super stoked to see or you're hearing about that's coming out or that has already been released?
I don't know, man. I don't know. This one's kind of weird. I didn't see anything that was like groundbreaking, like super cool. I can't wait to get that. I was like, there was a couple that I will buy, but I wasn't like, I can't wait to buy them. You know, like, normally there's something you're like, I cannot wait to get that.
Yeah.
This year was a little bit, I don't think there was that, but a couple of them, I love the Rapala DT series. There's some new DT colors that are coming out that look really good.
Yeah.
I think there was a the skinny DT6, like a flat side DT6.
Oh, that the thing that Ott built in his garage or whatever.
Yep, I think that'll be kind of cool.
I think that'll be a catcher.
I saw a Z-Man something. It kind of reminded me of a Menace, a Strike King Menace. Is it Z-Man something called the Goat Series or something?
Huh.
I'm excited to see it. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that elastic stuff. I just think I'm going to miss them on it. But I would probably buy a pack of those and just try them. The coolest thing I think is going on, I guess, which I already have one. I've been able to use it, but is that Tyvek with the troll man. I think it's the coolest thing I've ever used.
Yeah, thanks for slick.
Yeah, it came out of the Classic. I saw they're promoting it again for an ICAST release, but I think
Do you think we'll see? I know Minn Kota came out with their Raptor power pole thing.
We need to dedicate a couple minutes to that.
I agree totally. Yeah, can we just talk about the fact that everybody just
talk about that.
Can we just talk about the fact that the fishing industry just rips, like, they just, everybody just rips everybody off.
Rips
everybody off
like a paper rip.
Yes,
so
everybody.
I'm a huge fan of Minn Kota. I love their marketing. I love their branding. I love their products. They're innovative. And they have a really good pro staff, and I just like them. I like Minn Kota.
They're good people. They're good people. Yeah,
like, I love the whole thing. And then that.
And then they're like,
with the same colors too.
They're like the new is coming. Get ready. Everybody's dropping these things, and they're like, oh, hey, guess what? It's a power pole blade.
The Raptor.
And it's like, what?
The
What'd
most
you
innovative product.
What'd you
in
do?
The history of our industry.
What did you do? Why did you do that? This is a terrible idea.
Yeah, I was like, geez.
I mean, that one got me a little bit, and like I said, I've always, which this year I'm not running anything of theirs this year because I'm running a Garmin Force trolling motor. But I mean, these guys, they came up with Spotlight. They came, like, the Ultrex trolling motor is, I would say, in fishing history, I'm gonna say this. I would say that Humminbird Minn Kota have two of the top five greatest inventions in the history of fishing, or that have changed the game. And I think side imaging was the first, without question, the first thing they did. And I think a spot locking, I think the Ultrex was a game changer. Like, those two things have changed our sport. Yeah, they changed our sport. Their mapping as well. But I'll put them in the top five. As far as things in my lifetime that I feel like changed the sport, I will put Garmin LiveScope in that as well, in that top five. But I think Power Pole goes in that top five. What's the fifth one? I made a top five, but I didn't have five in my head already. What's the fifth one? As far as just like kick you in the teeth, this changed everything as far as ease of fishing, technology, whatever. What's that fifth one? But for me, I do think that Minn Kota Humminbird, they do have two of the top five, but I think Power Pole goes almost to the top of that mountain as well, because I use them every single time I go fishing. I think they're incredible. Just like that Garmin LiveScope, I think it's ridiculous what you see on that thing.
I think so. I think if I was saying top five, I would probably put anything that's forward looking maybe in the top 10. Because like the side imaging, you have to have. I feel like if you're going to find fish offshore, power poles, you use them every single day, and spotlight, you use it. You know, whether it's Garmin's anchor mode or whatever,
right?
You use that every single time you go fishing.
I'm gonna throw one out there for you. Top five, this is top five all time. You're gonna think I'm crazy. Hotfoot.
Yeah, Hotfoot definitely.
I think, and it came out before you and I were even born, but I think as far as a thing that revolutionized things and is something that we see in every single boat that you use every single day, that is a safety feature, that is a ease of use feature, a Hotfoot, TH Marine Hotfoot, I think definitely goes in that top five. Had to think about that one for a minute, but I do, but that being said, this company has been very innovative, but I think this Raptor thing is just kind of silly. And I think it's a preemptive strike because the rumor is that PowerPole has a trolling motor coming. And it's probably a little bit like, hey, you're going to get in our world, we're getting your world again, which they had already done that with a Talon. which, you know, a lot of guys run them. I've never ran them. I don't really like the design. That's just me personally.
I have ran them. I hate them.
Yeah. Some people don't have room for pumps and people like that. But listen, I am power pole to the core. When it comes to shallow water anchors, those guys nail it. They have a great design. You don't have any problems. Like they're legit. So that one was a bit weird. I haven't seen anything else that's just really been mind blowing though, as far as product announcements. One I will say, this one's funny. We can talk about this one, 'cause this is personal to me and you. Our buddy Fat Todd, and this hybrid hunter, the Strike King crankbait. So this is the rebirth of a crankbait. Basically, it's the same crankbait, right?
Same one.
So this new Striking Hybrid, and it's a great crankbait. It's a great crankbait. I've personally seen it work. You've personally seen it work. It's a great crankbait. Sixth Sense has one called the Swank that's very similar that they've had out for very many years. And I've seen, so people are so funny in comments that they're just like, yeah, you ripped off Sixth Sense. And Rapala, they're getting killed on this thing.
Yeah.
Like killed in the comments. And I just want to say to people, they didn't rip anybody off with this at all. They didn't. Like, this thing's been around for a while. Then it was discontinued. Now they're bringing it back. But people are losing their minds over that in the comments.
I feel like it's I haven't read through the comments too much, but I
did.
That.
I did this weekend just looking for stuff for the show. But people are just like, you copycats, copying Rapala, you pieces of crap. Nobody really got after Todd too much. And that made me sad because I wanted somebody to be like, Todd Castledine's stupid and he cheats at tournaments. I wanted somebody to say that, but nobody did. But, I want to say this though. I did watch the Strike King video and Todd did a great job explaining that crankbait. I will give my buddy some credit there.
I didn't make it that far on the Strike King video.
He broke it down. The video was longer because they let Todd break down his favorite crankbait. I will say it was long, but, they got a new spinnerbait coming out that, I think it's got the right size wire and things, a tour level spinnerbait, they're calling it again. But I think they're trying to step up their spinnerbait game again. But I would say Sixth Sense, but dude, Sixth Sense has never been all about ICAST. And they haven't been in the last couple of years. And they kind of release things through the year, some exciting things. And we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming with Sixth Sense that you and I've already got our hands on. A lot of our listeners and viewers already have in their hands. So
yeah. And I think too, I think some of these things will meant to be released to be able to purchase now.
Yes.
In like the big orders of them, but COVID just messed it all up. Like the Catwalk, the Speedweight, and the Frog were all intended to be released around right now to purchase the full inventory. And there have been little small releases that they've flown in. I mean, you've got some of them, but the big launches won't be until this fall. But I will, I, I mean, I said this on a post that I made. I throw every frog. I love every frog I live on Gunnersville, so you got to have every single different kind of frog on Gunnersville. The six-sense frog is not a grass frog. I mean, you've obviously thrown it a ton, too, but I went to a place recently, and I got to throw that frog the most I've ever thrown it, and the guy that I was with just... He kept saying the whole time, dude, I've never seen a frog that walks like that.
It does walk. It's
longer. And me and you were talking about this, but you can walk it, like, and keep it in one place similar to how you can do, you know, a lot of other brain frogs, but it moves longer. So if you get it slower and walk it slower, you can move it 8 or 9 inches, you know, when you walk it almost like a spruce. And it just straight up catches it.
Well, that that popar bite is like that big popar bite where you leave that thing kind of splashing around and walking in the same spot, you know, and it almost comes back on itself. And that six-sense frog will definitely do that.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah, if you haven't seen Darian's video, was it your last video now at this point? It is. Yeah. It's truly, like, it's insanity. Of what he does on a frog in this video, and go watch it. If you just make sure that you've like, if you've got heart problems, maybe don't watch it, because it's just like blow up after blow up after blow up and braid singing and fish getting jacked in the face. It's pretty freaking awesome. So, all right. Speaking of awesome, Darian and I, we got a new deal coming up. And on Thursday.
And I'm butthurt, by the way, too. All y'all listening, I'm butthurt. When is this getting posted?
Thursday.
No. I'm talking about this podcast right now.
This podcast is posted on Monday, July 6th, so today. It'll be up this afternoon.
Okay. So all y'all know that in 3 days, y'all will see me butthurt is all I got
to
say.
Spoiler alert. But give you something to look forward to. So on Thursday, he's going to have a video go live, and I'm going to have a video go live. And we're calling it. Y'all know how much we go back and forth talking crap. We did Quarantine Catch Fest, which, let's see. Yeah, I won that. And then I had to think about that for a second. We did our best five for the month of April, and I won that. And then we've got this new tournament series.
That was such a sub.
It was. I got that in there. That was almost like you were laying on the ground dying, and I just walked by and just like went,
ka, 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 ka. You said, yeah, I won that.
Yeah, I won that. And by the way, we started mailing out prizes for that. We're going to finish that this week, I hope. But anyways... for all you fans that participate. But this tournament, we're calling it the Show Up and Shut Up series. And we filmed round one. So we're doing a best of seven, like the World Series, like the NBA Finals. Darian and I can't jump or dunk. So this is the only chance we're ever going to have to, you know, be in a game seven type situation. So this is the best of seven. So whoever wins four games of this, quote, games, wins the entire series. We're going to try to put one of these out a week for the next until it's over. We have filmed episode one, and you're going to see Darian's POV point of view on his channel and my point of view on my channel. It's really fun, but we showed up at a lake we had each never been to, no practice, not really any information whatsoever. We showed up. Shut up, put the boats in the water. We got a 15-minute ride around, and we fished. We fished a 5-fish limit at this first one. Each of these will be different. So this Thursday, and I may do a premiere on this if my kids don't have a ball game, just to get in the comments. I think it'd be fun. But so we won't tell you who took game one, but we will tell you Darian's butthurt. What are you thinking for the next format, Darian? And y'all comment below if you're watching this on YouTube, or send me a DM if you're listening going down the road on what format you would like to see. We're going to film another one this week, maybe two.
Maybe tomorrow,
hopefully. But we may go 3-fish format. We may go a big fish format. We may go do a kayak video where we do inches, right? Like, dude, inches.
I had another cool idea. I think this might not be the best time to be able to do it. This might have to be a next year thing, what I'm thinking of, but I know you've probably not played Call of Duty
or
Call of Duty, but in Call of Duty, there is a game mode called a gun game. And so in gun game, you start out with like a knife and you got to kill somebody with a knife. And then as soon as you kill somebody with a knife, you automatically get a pistol. And then as soon as you shoot somebody with a pistol, you automatically get a little shotgun. Well, I think there's like 12 or 15 different guns. And the first person to get to that last gun, it might be a rocket launcher at the end, wins. So how cool would it be if we had a set? Obviously, you couldn't do 15 baits in a day. But if you did 6 baits or even a group of 8 or 9 or 10, and you got to pick 5 of them.
Yeah, and I like so, that.
You know, you might have a square bill and a spinner bait and a topwater, but you also might have a live cricket or like a couple oddballs.
Dude Perfect did something similar, but they were using more. It was more rods and reels with them. They used like big deep sea fishing tackle. You remember that one? It was a really good one.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of the bait the gun game. We'll call it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought of another format too. I'll throw out there, and y'all can comment below. Do you remember the old Bassmaster Megabucks format?
Yep.
Where they had 10 holes and they mark off a creek on a lake and they said, this is hole one. They give them all a map. And when the time changes every hour, you move to the next hole. You cannot leave that area until the hour is up. Dude, that's a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I always love that format. So we might have to bring that out too. I was thinking that last night. That's a good one. But the first one was just you go where you want to go. 15-minute ride around. It was a blast. We had some weather issues, but we may have for the rest of the year. We're filming these in July, which is a really difficult time a lot of times in the South. But the first one showed out. It was really fun. The first lake was a really cool lake in Tennessee we went to that we had never been to. We're definitely going back to. A lot of fun. But y'all make sure to check it out and hit Darian up in his comments. Let us know what kind of format you want to see. We're going to try to get all these in, the best of 7. And, I mean, I hope it only takes – very few games to get it done, you know, but I would love nothing more than for us to get to film 7 of these in a best of 7, but this will not be the only one of these we do because we had an absolute blast.
I think next year in the spring is just going to make this thing insane.
Yes.
We thought of it a little bit late. I would say I would love to go back. I know that would not be fun, but I'm not even going to give the spoiler alert, but I would love to go back to where we were soon, but I don't think that would be fun. Maybe if we get to game 5, maybe if
then we go back.
If, but
I did find me a little old juice hole. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I got lucky, but y'all be sure, please go watch that. Please subscribe to the channel if you're not. Subscribe to Darian's channel if you're not. And Darian is that rare YouTuber where he tries to, and I'm trying to do the same thing. Darian does it a lot better than me, but he's meshing the tournament world / YouTube world, I feel like, because they are two different worlds. And Darian is a tournament angler at heart, and he meshes those well. So if you don't normally watch YouTube fishing videos, if you're listening to this, go give him a follow. I think even the fact that he is very stupid, and I don't like him very much. I hate his guts. He's a good dude at the same time. So go follow him. And D-Money, I think that's going to get it for Low Budget Live. I think we had a fun conversation, fun 30 minutes, and your post-workout's probably kicking in right now.
Post-workout's crushing. What time is this going to post this evening?
This will probably post at about as long as it takes. I normally just throw it up as soon as it uploads, honestly, because I'm lucky that I'm recording on Monday morning, which is rare. I normally do them on Sundays, but yesterday I didn't really didn't get it done. And so it'll probably be up by lunch.
So my only ask of everyone who has made it this far, we've been over 31 minutes, so we've probably been recording for about 50 minutes. If you have made it this far tonight, I do have a video that's scheduled that I'm very excited about. It is the video, my first time using that kayak I was talking about earlier. It's one of my favorite videos because it's pure, like, raw emotion of how cool the thing is. And one thing that I think is really cool about Old Town is they told me to give an honest review. They said, truly said, if you don't like it, just say that you don't like it. You don't have to tell us the truth. I mean, you don't have to just say that you don't like it because we sent it to you. So it's a cool video. I had a camera guy, and so it was just – it's an awesome video.
And I will say sponsor plugs get in the way a lot of times. in this sport. They always do. But I will say, and I have no affiliation with Old Time whatsoever, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, it is very, very... And Darian's been real jacked about it and has been sending me pictures and video. Like, it's a cool freaking product.
Exactly. And the thing that I thought was cool about Old Town is they're sending you a $2,000 to $5,000 piece of equipment, and truly said, if you don't like this, honestly, don't just say you like it. Like, tell us what you don't like, tell the fans what you don't like. And even about this one, I said there was something that I didn't like, which was when you unscrew the prop, we have the Eliminator prop nut for TH. Mm-hmm. They have a plastic little thing to untwist, and it feels like you're going to break it. And I even said on there, that was one thing I thought was dumb, to have this expensive kayak and a plastic nut on there or whatever. But anyhow, it's an awesome video. So that's my recommendation. If you guys want to watch a cool video after you listen to this podcast, go check it out.
Got a lot of kayak fishermen that listen to the show, and definitely watch the channel because I see the comments a lot. And y'all go check that out. And D Money, I will I'll get at you later about some other business.
10-4. Well, let's try to plan the game 2 of the series.
Yes, game 2, baby. This week. Game 2, game 3. Oh yeah, I need to talk to you about game 3, about the potential game 3, because I got some juicy info yesterday.
Okay, let's talk later on.
Okay.
And thanks for having me on. Thanks
absolutely, everyone, buddy. For listening. Yeah.
And I'll watch you soon.
All right. D Money, ladies and gentlemen, Darian is fishing right there on the podcast, and it's fun interviewing friends and like friends and family, so that's a good time. Hope y'all enjoyed that. He's a great guy, and he's doing really big things in this fishing world, so make sure you're following along if you're not. Thank y'all so much for everything. Thank y'all for subscribing to the channel. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for liking all this craziness. Make sure you're subscribed if you are not. Make sure you watch The Last Boats and Pros with Carl Jacobson. I really appreciate that. And make sure, go check out my last Garmin LiveScope video, because I caught some dang biggins. And the comments have been really fun on that one. Everybody seemed to enjoy it so far. But go check that out. I know it was a holiday weekend. I threw it up on a Thursday. But go check that out. And then look forward to the Show Up, Shut Up Championship Game 1 this Thursday, dropping on YouTube. I'm going to take you out with some... Luke Duncan, Biloxi Blues. Yeah, me. And I hope y'all have a freaking great week. It's the Triple Threat's birthday on Saturday. So we will have celebrated a birthday. But y'all be thinking about her. All right. Hug your damn mama. Have a good week. We will see y'all next week.
Does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.